John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spend on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
You don't have to listen to Sports Grid.
You can always go to a horse stable, find one with shoes, pry one off, and hang it over your door. Or you can get the winning edge
right here.
And you won't take a hoof to the head.
No!
This is Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM.
Pro football full circle.
Here's Derrick Henry trying to get the big guy going, and he's going. And when I say going, he might go all the way. Nobody's going to catch him.
Allen under center, sneaking.
No,
I don't know.
He did not make that.
I do not know. Let's see where they spot it.
He did not make that.
The Titans think they have stopped it. Let's wait.
They got it. They did it. They did it. Yes. Not yes. Not yes. Hell yes.
Hell yeah, baby. We are live right here on Pro Football Full Circle, right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius Channel 204. Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel kicking it around for the next hour, talking about the upcoming week, NFL week number 7. But a big ball game in Nashville last night. Tennessee, what a dominating effort by Derrick Henry. 146 yards on the ground, 3 touchdowns, 76 yards in terms of his first touchdown run. The Titans, Scott, outright 6-point underdogs over the Buffalo Bills and Josh Allen. Pretty gutty effort by the Titans last night at home.
Yeah, how about that, Joe? You know, a 6-point road dogs, I thought that was kind of big. You know, I know Tennessee's defense this year has been nothing short of horrible, but they did beat them last year, you know, by 26 points. They whacked them. So all the incentive was on Buffalo's side. I get that, but still to be a you know, near touchdown underdog, that used to be back in the 70s and 80s in your and our time. You know, home Monday night underdog was an automatic. You could have been the worst team in the NFL versus the absolute best team. You're a home underdog on Monday night. That's an automatic play. So it came through last night as the Titans win. The big controversy. And I don't know if it's really that controversial going for it on fourth down. I like the call. I mean, I don't like the specific play call, but I do like that decision. I mean, if you can't get a half a yard in that spot, then you don't deserve to win the football game in my eyes. The play call was stupid. The execution was atrocious, but I do like that call. You know, having gone to the Ravens game this past weekend and watching the Chargers, I was about to say San Diego, watching the Chargers go for it on their own 19-yard line. I'm thinking, well, if the Chargers can go for it at their own 19, fourth and one, then certainly Buffalo can go for it, in essence, trying to get the win last night.
No, I'm with you. And the fact that they're on the road, right? On the road, you have a different mentality. You don't want to go into overtime and potentially give the home team and Derrick Henry, who you didn't stop all night for that matter, right? He tore your defense up for 143 yards on the ground, 3 touchdowns. You want to end it right there in regulation. So I have no problem with that in terms of that play call. You got to be a little more aggressive. And Josh Allen, a big night. You know, wasn't on the ground. He only had 26 rushing yards. He did throw for 353 yards through the air, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception. And when I look at this performance overall, both teams are 4-2. I still buy in to Buffalo being the most complete team in the AFC. I know they lost week one to Pittsburgh, and I know this is a disappointing road loss, but at the end of the day, I still think offensively and defensively, most complete team in their division and the AFC for that matter.
Yeah, and they were almost playing with house money last night as far as the division is concerned. I wonder if this was week 12, Joe, and it was a one-game lead, or maybe they were tied for first place. But, you know, they had a chance to go 3 up on the Patriots and the Jets in the loss column anyway with a win yesterday. And now that they didn't win, they're still 2 up. I mean, the division is theirs. Will it come into play in a head-to-head tiebreaker situation in the end? I suppose. And I will also say this with that decision to go for it. A lot of it for me is always – is the risk worth the reward? Meaning, you know, in a Charger game, the reward for the Chargers, there we go again, to get the first down is, well, you got the football at your own 21-yard line. It's not worth it. Big deal. You know, but this reward was you win the game. You know, if there was 2 minutes left and you were going to score a touchdown, but you were still handing the ball off to Tennessee, knowing that they fully could have gone down the field, then it's not worth it. But no, we would have given the ball to Tennessee with literally 20 seconds left. To me, it was worth it. But, yeah. I mean, I still think the Bills ultimately are the best team. But I will say this. It is open. It did show you that, you know, a big effort, a good effort by a team like Kansas City, you know, like all the others in the AFC, they're all beatable. You know, there's no Tampa Bay. There's no, you know, Green Bay Packers in the AFC this year. There really isn't.
Or Arizona Cardinals, right, that are basically hitting on all cylinders. What about Tennessee, though? Obviously, Ryan Tannehill, a pedestrian, 216 yards, no touchdowns, one interception. All right, A.J. Brown, 91 yards. Julio Jones, a pedestrian, 59 receiving yards on three catches. Can this team compete if the running game isn't there with Derrick Henry? If Tannehill has to carry this team in the second half of the season, right now, to me, he's slightly regressed from where he was a year ago.
Yeah, it is amazing. You know, he got that big fat contract, and he doesn't quite, you know, listen, he's had a couple of games where there was no AJ or no Julio Jones, but he did have both of them last night, you know, so that's not an excuse. It is clearly a Derrick Henry team. You know, if you wanted people to talk about Lamar Jackson being the MVP, because what would Baltimore be without Jackson? Okay, I get it, but if you want to use that same philosophy, you know, what would Tennessee be? You know what they would be, Joe? They would be our Miami Dolphins. And Ryan Tannehill would go back to being the Ryan Tannehill that he spent six, seven, 8 years, whatever it was, with Miami. You know, a decent quarterback, but never really an over-the-top, you're not going to win a Super Bowl type of quarterback. Now he's got the running game. He doesn't have to throw for 300 yards, and he can do well, but without Henry running, he's run for 100-plus yards every single game. It is amazing. But without him, this team would be lost.
You know what's amazing too, Scott? And we'll talk about it on the back end as well. His rushing total was about 500 yards less than his 2027 total from last year. He's on a pace to really eclipse that in 2021. When we come back, we'll be breaking down the complete slate of week number 7. Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel right here on The Grid. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Ball Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
Back on Pro Football Full Circle, Joe Lisi, Scott Wetzel kicking it around. We left off talking about Derrick Henry, and Scott, I did want to bring it up because I talked about his preseason rushing total where FanDuel had it in the area, I believe, about 1,527 yards. He did have 783 now after last night's performance. And a bigger picture, if he does set the single season rushing record still held by Eric Dickerson, there's the potential for Derrick Henry, assuming this team is a playoff contender, to steal the MVP. I mean, we haven't seen a running back in recent years hoist the hardware, but he's still a 35-1 shot. And when you look at some of the quarterbacks, Dak Prescott, 3.5-1, Kyler Murray, you know, plus 390, Josh Allen plus 420, that's pretty good value if you're going to get 35-1 on possibly the NFL's leading rusher.
Yeah, and the way, you know, listen, averages can be pretty foolish to go by. But that said, he is averaging, Joe, 130.5 yards a game, and that would put him over the 2105 that Dickerson had. It puts him at 2218. Now he does have the extra game, you know, with the 17 games. Would they hold that against him? So it would help his cause if he was to set this record and win the MVP in order for him to do it in 16 games. You know, now, this way there'd be no, you know, Roger Maris, you know, Babe Ruth asterisk situation.
Well, so let me ask you this:
35-1 is not bad. You know, holding out to a 35-1 ticket at the end of the day, when you're going to have one or two, three, four, five people being mentioned, is pretty darn good.
Well, I don't recall, and I know it's a while ago, but when Dickerson set the 2105, wasn't that a strike season as well, where there were two or three games against replacements, or am I mistaken about that?
I think you're mistaken on that.
Okay, so he did the 21. All right, he did the 2105 in a 16-game season, no replacements, no strike year, straight up, right? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. All right. 1984.
I just want Yeah. I just want to make sure about that because, I mean, if he beats it by 100 yards or 150 yards, I mean, that's a fantastic effort, even with an extra game. I mean, basically, he would be right there in terms of Eric Dickerson's total in a 16-game season. And if he crushes it somehow, some way, and let's say gets in the area of 2,300 or even 2,400, he has had 200 rushing yard games before. How can you not take a look at Derrick Henry in terms of that assessment? So pretty good value with 35-1. Where do you see, I mean, what would get him into the area of about 15-1 over the next five games if he just goes off 180 rushing yards per game?
Yeah, I mean, it really, it's notoriety. Not that people don't know who Derrick Henry is, Joe, but, you know, you mentioned the lack of respect that he got at the beginning of the year. Maybe people thought that Tennessee was going to throw the football a little more with Julio Jones. I don't think people buy into Tennessee, even after last night. I bet they don't. But, you know, he's got a chance to make his mark again. You know, he starts it last night on national TV against Buffalo. They play Kansas City next. And you know the whole world, that's a 1 o'clock game. I'd be shocked if they don't move that to a 4 o'clock game. I don't know how much time they need to move these things. But that is a huge game. So that, but that's going to be another game where everyone's going to be looking at, you know, Tennessee. They play the Rams in a couple of weeks. So and that's the Sunday night game. So that's another game. So over the next three out of the next four games, including Buffalo, he's going to be on national TV or be the focus, you know, with Kansas City. And that's, you know, over the next 2-3 weeks. So if you want to get him now, because this is when people are going to open their eyes to, like, okay, the possibility is there. Him and Lamar Jackson, just like Lamar Jackson yesterday with the Charger game, that's going to happen to Derrick Henry over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. I mean, right now, 4-2, you can't ask for anything else. Beat the best team on paper in terms of the Buffalo Bills. Great home win for Ryan Tannehill and the crew. Big battle taking place in Tampa now. Chicago, I mean, they went toe-to-toe with Aaron Rodgers for basically three quarters. In the fourth quarter, he pulls away. He starts abusing the fans and the former Bears. I mean, saying, I own you, and he does. I mean, covers again in Soldier Field. Tampa Bay is laying 12.5 to Chicago in this game. It's a 4:30 kick. Under and over is 47.5. Juice to the under at -112. I mean, the way Tom Brady and that offense is playing right now, defensively, they're starting to come around. I don't see where Chicago can challenge that defense over the top with the inexperience of Justin Fields and, more importantly, the play calling of Matt Nagy, so conservative yet again after they get a 7-0 lead over the Packers.
Yeah, and slowly but surely, the Tampa Bay defense is coming back to the form we saw last year in the Super Bowl, right? I mean, first week they gave up 29, second week they gave up 25 to the Falcons, third week they give up 34 to the Rams, and you're like, what happened to the Tampa Bay defense? But last 3 weeks, 17, 17, and 22 against Philadelphia. So you're getting a defense that's starting to come into form against a rookie quarterback with a bad head coach. That's a deadly combination. Who wants to lay 12.5? You know, in a football game. Although I will tell you, all the double-digit favorites, I got to do this week's numbers yet. I'm running a little behind. But heading into this week, all the double-digit favorites won and covered. So the dogs in these double digits are due if you buy into the old the due theory.
Yeah, but it's Matt Nagy. That's the only problem. Yeah. I mean, Houston... yeah. Houston didn't cover. They were a 10.5-point dog. Miami, a couple weeks ago against Tampa Bay, they opened as a 10.5-point dog. They went down to 9.5 a kick, and Tampa Bay abused them in that ballgame. Also, remember, Buffalo was, what were they, 17.5 over the Texans? Covered that ballgame as well. So, I mean, I think the one team that didn't cover in terms of a double digit, was it the Browns week one?
Yes.
Not Browns, a week two. Week two, I think the Browns were laying a big number against the Texans. And Tyrod Taylor covered that line on the road, if I'm not mistaken. They lost by 10. I think they were catching like 13.5.
Yeah, you know what? I'm looking at my numbers now. Heading into this previous week, 6-0 straight up, 5-1 against the spread, and I think that was the one time.
Right, that, Tyrod and, Taylor.
Davis Mills, yeah, Taylor, and then Davis Mills came off the bench late and threw a couple of little touchdown passes for the
Texans. The other big spread, Scotty, is the L.A. Rams, and they completely abuse the Giants. I don't know what the Giants are going to do. No identity.
Wow.
I like Joe Judge in terms of a mentality perspective, but this talent and this roster, I don't know what the direction is of the New York Giants. But that being said, L.A. is laying 15.5 right now against Detroit and Dan Campbell, and that was a pathetic performance. They had an opportunity to knock off Zach Taylor and Joe Burrow. They're catching 15.5 on the West Coast, minus 110 either way. Any confidence in the Lions could regroup? It is Goff going back home.
Yes, that's the only little caveat to it all. You got Jared Goff, who, apparently is on the verge of losing his starting job, was called out by Campbell. I'm telling you, Joe, I think Campbell's going to be one and done. And to me, I know this sounds goofy, and I'm not really joking. I would fire him already because he has done nothing. The problem with the Lions, it's the aura. It's the whole attitude. It's the Detroit bumbling, stumbling Lions, right? And they've lost more games this year in which they should have won. It's not their competitive nature. It's the fact that they just find ways to lose. And with Dan Campbell, it's the same thing. You give up a 66-yard field goal. You give up a 55-yard field goal. You give up drives that led to those field goals in which they were in very easy situations to win games. They blew a game against the Niners, which they had a chance to make the miracle comeback. So nothing has changed with Detroit. Nothing. So I have no faith in that club. I you know what? I would lay 20 if I had to lay 20, even with the Jared Goff situation. So I would say this, out of the, and I'm sure the next one's going to be the Texans. I would say the Texans against the Cardinals have the biggest chance of covering the number out of all the monster teams.
Ooh, all right. Okay, well, I'll say this about Dan Campbell. What's the difference between Dan Campbell and Matt Patricia? I say bring back Wayne Fonts. He's 81 years old. Wayne Fonts was the last coach with any type of enthusiasm for the Detroit Lions. I mean, like, honestly, it's one thing to talk a good game, but it's at the end of the day, he's still a conservative head coach. I mean, they're not doing anything different from an offensive perspective in terms of trying to stretch teams vertically. This team is absolutely pathetic, and if you're a Lion fan, I don't know what you're going to do, but you need to change your cross, the whole roster. When we come back, we'll be breaking down the other games in terms of NFL week number 7. Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel right here on the grid. Keep it where it is. We're coming right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
Ripping through NFL week number 7. Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel talking about all the week 7 games. Scott, a big battle taking place in Las Vegas. Jalen Hurts and the Philadelphia Eagles on the road. They're 3-point dogs against the Raiders, who somehow, someway, no John Gruden, no problem. Derek Carr steps up over 300 yards, a dominating performance against Vic Fangio and the Denver Broncos. They step up. Now they're 3-point favorites over the Eagles, under an over set at 49. Bigger question, though, moving forward. Yes, who do you believe wins this game? To me, I still lean to the Raiders, but is Jalen Hurts the guy in Philadelphia, or do you think if Deshaun Watson is cleared of everything, the Eagles are all in to try and get the Houston Texans quarterback on their roster?
I think that's what the Texans are asking. Not even Philadelphia. I think the Texans are saying, as long as we, the more and more we wait for Philadelphia to figure out what they have in Hurts, the better and better our package for the Watson's going to be. Because the Dolphins are all in, and if the Eagles go all in, now we have two suitors going for one guy versus just Miami saying, here's a first or a second round pick, or two first rounders, what they're asking for four. So I don't think he's an NFL starting quarterback. I think, can they make that conclusion in 1 year? That's the question. I mean, they ran Wentz out of town. They ran their head coach out of town, seemingly to say, Jalen, this is your team. And I don't think he deserved to get that kind of praise and props. But they do have two nice wins. They played, competitively. You know, the San Fran game was probably the worst, and even that was only a 6-point loss. But it is funny how they're only a 3-point dog at Las Vegas. You know, you go for Vegas, it comes up with a monster win at Denver, and yet they go home against a team that's 2-4, yet they're only a 3-point home favorite. You know, that's a weird game to try and figure out. So, but I tell you, despite all the issues that Sean Watson has had to deal with, Houston is still looking at getting a bag load of picks for him and players if they want to go that route.
But at this, there still is no determination on whether he's even going to be able to play football at this point. We haven't heard a stitch.
Yeah, I mean, he can. You know, I don't know what kind of agreement he has or the Players Association has, because, you know, we've seen players, you know, yell and scream about not playing, right? Colin Kaepernick. I mean, how is it that the Players Association is just standing by, allowing the Texans to, albeit pay Deshaun Watson, but not play him? I don't, you know, so what kind of agreement is there? His trial, if there is such a thing, you know, is going to, you know, go for the next 6 months to a year. He could be in the same spot next year, Joe. I mean, so as far as the legalities of all the accusations. So I don't, you know, they just continue to pay him. Does someone trade for him? I think the whole thing's going to get settled out of court. I think he's going to find a way to you know, pay the women that are accusing him of doing whatever. And I think that's how this thing is going to end. But, you know, they're nowhere close to getting the legality settled. And if that's the case, then the NFL doesn't want to step in. You know, we can't suspend you. You know, you're not even facing any charges at this point.
It's amazing. It really is amazing. I thought by now, entering week number 7, we would have heard a little bit in terms of the investigation, heard where the NFL stands in terms of their view, but we're just status quo. So I guess we'll just let the season play out, and then obviously at the end of the year, we'll make a judgment, or the court will decide where Deshaun Watson is. I can't imagine 22 people involved, or at least 22, that have criminal charges, right? And not a stitch. Right? It really is amazing in terms of that breakdown. Hopefully, you know, the law does its job and we come to a conclusion either way. When you look at Philadelphia,
You know what's also weird about that, Joe, is, like, you know, we have 50 zillion news outlets now, right? I mean, all kind of websites and all.
It's like they're all hush-hush.
Yeah. You're telling me not one person, not TMZ or, you know, pick one of those other goofy ones. No one has gone to one of these women. And it's not that hard to figure out if you want to find out who one of these 22 women are. No one has gone to one of these women and said, tell me your story. Tell me what happened. What you know, what are you really accusing them of doing? I mean, nobody, not TMZ, not National Enquirer, not the Four Letter Network. Nobody has taken the interest. I don't live in Houston. I'd be real curious to know what the Texan fan, how he really feels. Are they okay with this? I mean, they got one of the best quarterbacks in the land sitting on the bench, and the team stinks. Have you come to the resolution that he's going to be gone next year, so you don't care? But very strange.
It is definitely very strange, especially when you see some of the other circumstances with some of the star players, right? Ezekiel Elliott. I mean, we saw the situation would happen there. There was leaked news, and obviously we knew about, you know, where the situation occurred and all the specifics. And right now, we basically know nothing more than in the preseason. It is quite amazing. What about this rushing attack with Miles Sanders? I mean, he's got 267 rushing yards on the year so far through 6 games. I mean, 44.5. I mean, that is not going to get it done for Philadelphia to win games moving forward, especially in the second half of the year. You can only rely on Jalen Hurts so much. I mean, when I look at this total right now, I sort of lean to the under because I don't know if Philadelphia is going to have that balanced attack going up against that front 7 with Max Crosby. They've played quite well through 6 weeks so far.
Yeah, 49 points is the over-under, 3-49. So that
seems high.
I think it's really weird because the line is only 3. You know, if the line was like 7, 8, or 9, then it would be built in. Like, okay, the Raiders are capable of putting 30 on the board. But if it being a somewhat a competitive game, you know, they're assuming the Raiders are going to put, 22, 23 on the board. And that's, you know, what Philadelphia's supposed to do. So I think it was an emotional week for the Raiders. I think they're going to come back down to earth, and it'll be a little bit lower scoring. you know, Philadelphia, you know, traveling all the way, you know, get the extra couple of days to prepare, you know, because they played, remember, last Thursday night against the Buccaneers and Brady. So I could see this one being a lower scoring game versus the higher scoring game.
Let me ask you this. Would you take a shot on the Raiders here long term? We know they got the win. Obviously, one game doesn't define a season, but people thought that they were going to fall off a cliff without John Gruden. I mean, right now, in terms of winning the AFC West, plus 750, dead last behind the Chiefs, Broncos, and Chargers. Denver's got some injury concerns, even though Judy comes back. Los Angeles proved that they are mortal. They got blown out by the Ravens, and we know where the Chiefs are. And this is a team in Las Vegas that last year at least beat the Chiefs one straight game in Arrowhead and took them to the fourth quarter at home in Las Vegas. Do they have a shot to steal it?
I'll give you two teams in the AFC that are kind of flying under the radar that you get pretty good value with. And this goes all the way back to our first conversation about Buffalo, Joe, being, you know, not maybe as dominant as we thought. We see Kansas City not being dominant. So I don't think there's one team. I'll give you two that maybe might be ready this year.
All right,
Raiders would be one.
Okay.
Raiders are one, 25-1 to win the AFC. Forget about the Super. Just the AFC, they're still 25-1. You know, I thought they all liked Gruden, but who knows? Maybe they all hated him. Maybe they were tired of his antics. Maybe they just didn't buy into him. But I could see the storyline is there. Gruden gets fired. Now it's us against the world, and the Raiders are rallying around, and it's the city, and it's everything else. So I could kind of see that happening. The other one, I'm telling you, the Cincinnati Bengals at 30-1. People laughed.
Really?
I mentioned in-game live a few weeks back when we were going over some of the divisions, and I said, grab the Bengals. They were 30-1. I said, you know, Steelers aren't that good. The Browns are still the Browns, and I don't think the Ravens are really good. So I said, the Bengals at 30-1 to win the division is pretty good. Now they're 31-1 still to win the AFC Championship. I'm telling you, you know, Burrow and Chase, they got the quarterback in Burrow, they got the wide receiver in Chase, and they got the running back in Mixon. I mean, they got all three pieces. You know, are they ready to build it? And the defense is doing pretty well this year, believe it or not.
Yeah, they are.
Are they ready to take that step? I don't know. But, again, it's about holding on to a 31-1 ticket to win the AFC when they're going to be challenging for a playoff spot. That's what you have.
I don't know about the AFC, but plus 950 to win the division, and now it's worth a shot. Let me ask you this, because they go up against Lamar Jackson in Baltimore, best record in the AFC. I talked about it a little yesterday. They were plus 6.5. This is on points bet now. They're plus 6, minus 110 either way. Do you take them with the points plus the 6? Do they have a shot at plus 220 on the road in Baltimore?
I think it's the perfect storm. I think they win the game outright. I really do. The Charger game, I know everyone's going to point to, but I was there. L.A. just didn't show, Joe. It is the rare,
they came out
rare
flat
game. My 15-year-old daughter pointed it out, that they came out flat. And it's the rare game that – I'm not kidding you. Yeah, she was like, boy, they just don't look like they're there today, Dad. And I'm like, no, they don't. Because we're here, I guess. But you know, we're expecting this shootout. And Justin Herbert couldn't complete a 5-yard pass. I mean, they were just dominated from start to finish, right? So everyone's now saying, okay, great for Baltimore. And give them credit. But that's one of those things where it's like a misleading score, because the game wasn't even competitive. The Chargers didn't give their A effort. They didn't, you know, the Ravens didn't beat the Chargers. They beat a team that was disinterested. Topeka High would have beat the Chargers yesterday, or Sunday rather. So now you got all this praise being thrown on Baltimore, and now you got the stumbling, bumbling Bungles coming to town. We beat the Bungles all the time. They're no good. I'm telling you, this is Cincinnati's chance to get on the map. And I just think after going through a crazy game against the Colts 2 weeks ago for the Ravens and then beating the snot out of the Chargers on Sunday, I think they're set up perfectly to get knocked off. I think Cincy wins.
Well, we'll see. I agree with you that you would take them earlier in the week, plus the 6.5. Biggest thing about Baltimore is that Lamar Jackson was not sharp in that victory. 167 passing yards, one touchdown, two interceptions. It was the defense of Baltimore that held Justin Herbert and that attack to under 250 yards. When we come back, we'll be talking about the other games in Week 7. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
My arm still hurts from COVID shit.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
Continuing the conversation, we left off with Broadway Joey Burrow and Zach Taylor. Scott's all in. He thinks this is a potential dark horse to win the division and, more importantly, at 31-1, possibly challenge the Buffalo Bills and Kansas City Chiefs. I'll ask you maybe a smaller question, or I'll dial it back a little bit. If you're that bullish on Zach Taylor and Joe Burrow, you gotta love the fact that at plus 170 on FanDuel, you could be all in on this team to make the playoffs. So would you take that bet week number 7 right here, right now?
I would take it, but I wouldn't take it. I would take it because I have higher expectations. I have plus 170, and that's not going to cut it for me. If I'm going to be right about this dopey Bungles team, I got to be collecting, you know, give me the 950 for them to win the division, or give me the 31-1 to win the AFC, or give me the, I don't even know what they are to win the Super Bowl. It's probably about 50-1, right? If they're 31-1 to win the AFC. I need something bigger than that. But do I think they're going to make the playoffs? I do. I mean, listen, they're 4-2, and they're, you know, how many field goal tries away from being 5-1? You know, if the kid can hit a freaking field goal against Green Bay, they're a 5-1 football team. I mean, this is no fluke for them. You know, and they beat some halfway decent teams. It's not like they're feasting on a bunch of the stiffs. I mean, they beat the Minnesota Vikings, which in the end is going to be challenging for a playoff spot. They beat the Pittsburgh, which, you know, it's still Pittsburgh. They did beat Detroit, but it's on the road. So, and they should have, could have beat Green Bay. So, and their schedule, Joe, when you look at it, you know, it's not, you know, they got the Jets on there. They got the Raiders on there. They got the, you know, Steelers again. They got San Fran, which I don't know what you're going to get out of San Fran in December. You got Denver on there. You got the Cleveland on there twice, and at this point, I don't think you're getting anything out of the Browns. I know it's a rivalry game, but, you know, it's not a daunting schedule for them, and they kind of control their own destiny in that they play Baltimore twice. So,
well, I got a bet for you then. It's almost like a spread in terms of trading. Buy the Bengals at plus 170 to make the playoffs and sell the Browns, no, not to make the playoffs, plus 205. How about that?
I like that. I like that a lot. Browns aren't making the playoffs. Browns are not. They're going to lose Baker Mayfield. One more hit and Baker's going to be done for the season.
That might be a good thing. That might be a good thing the way he's been playing lately. Think of it that way.
Maybe,
I mean, a couple weeks ago, he had two touchdown passes. I mean, LaLotta and the backups performed pretty well in terms of the preseason. I know it's the preseason, but when you don't have Kareem Hunt, Nick Chubb is banged up, Jarvis Landry comes back, Odell is already complaining, three targets. There's no identity in terms of what they had last year, turning the football over. When your defense is out there for extended periods of time, Myles Garrett or not, you're going to start to wear down. I mean, look at Pittsburgh. As dominant as they were, when your offense becomes inconsistent and they put that defense out there for longer periods of time and more plays, it doesn't matter how big you are, how physical you are, if your offense can't help you out, no defense can hold up in terms of the tempo of today's game.
Yeah, you know, that's a good find, Browns +2-1 on FanDuel to not make the playoffs. But here's the issue with it, and I don't think they will. You know, it's the question of who will then. Because you get the four division winners, right? And then you get the three wild cards. So don't forget with the extra wild card this year. So
I got one for you. I got one.
All right, hold on. Let's go, you know, Chargers, we'll just say for the sake of argument, Chargers or Chiefs win the West. I think it's, you know, pretty safe to say the other team will get one of those wild cards.
Okay.
AFC East, New England Jets, Miami? No. AFC South, I still think the Colts have a pretty good team, but their schedule is brutally tough, and they're 2-4. Texans, no. Jacksonville, no. You know, the AFC North, even if you're buying into me with the Bungles, okay, that's two. That still leaves one more spot. I mean, you're going to – You're going to get a bad team that's going to make the playoffs in the AFC.
Well, you don't need, I hate to say
this before. You don't need seven playoff teams. You just don't. I'm not a proponent of this extra playoff team.
I hate to say it, and I'm a big basher of Carson Wentz, but when you can run the football, you have an opportunity to win games on the road. They're plus 154 to make the playoffs. They started slow. They get the victory over Miami on the road. They go toe-to-toe with Baltimore. They followed that up last week. I know it was Houston, but they just beat them into the ground, and that was a team in Houston that went toe-to-toe with New England the week before at home, right? Covered that number as a 7.5-point dog. As long as they can run the football, sustain drives, Carson Wentz doesn't really have to do a whole lot. We saw Paris Campbell step up. That defense is good, at least in the front seven. Secondary is a little suspect, but again, in a playoff type of atmosphere or a road type of atmosphere, more times than not, teams that can run the football and obviously sustain time of possession do pretty well in terms of that element against more explosive offenses.
Yeah, they got a schedule that they can make some hay, but then these next two games, you know, Tennessee at home and then San Fran this upcoming week at San Fran. If they can get through those two, even win one of the two and go to 3-5, then they got the Jets. Then they got the Jaguars after the Jets. Now all of a sudden you're looking at 5-5 and you're probably right in the thick of things. And you still have the Texans on the schedule after that. The Patriots are on the schedule after that. The Jaguars are still on the schedule after that. You got some games that they could actually win. So them at plus 156, again, you know, you're probably – I bet an 8-9 – I'll bet you this, Joe. I bet an 8-9 football team makes the postseason.
I do. In the AFC, without a doubt, I agree with that 100%. I mean, I would love for the Miami Dolphins to be in the argument, but this team is dead. This team is dead right now. No identity. I have no faith in what Brian Flores right now is preaching. I know they have injuries, so they're completely out of it. When we look at Bill Belichick, though, tough loss against Dallas. They're plus 300 right now, right? Plus 3-1 to make the playoffs. Would you buy in right here?
That's actually not too bad. They haven't got blown out, right? In all these games, I thought Dallas was going to go in there and kill them. I really thought that the way Davis Mills was throwing a football against them the week before, I thought they would put 45 on the board. That would be a blowout, but they haven't really. The Saints game was really the one bad clunker that they had. So they've been competitive. Again, you look at their schedule, it's not daunting. Jets a couple, or one more time. Dolphins one more time. Falcons are on there. A bad Browns team ultimately is going to be on there. Carolina's, you know. 3-1. If you don't mind them holding your money for 4 months, that's the year. Well, 3 months anyway. That's the issue.
Yeah,
if I'm gonna have them hold my money. I gotta have, you know, at least
31-1.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I want. Yeah, you know.
Right.
But 3-1. Yes. I could definitely see that. That would be a good 3-1 bet. Like, if I got paid off the next day, would you take your chances? Yeah, I would take my chances on the Patriots.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty good bet at this point in the season. Let's look at the Monday night game, because a lot of crap games this weekend. I mean, 15.5, 17.5. You mentioned the Texans over Arizona. I mean, that's just an unbelievable spread right now. Texans did not cover a couple weeks ago against Buffalo on the road. But New Orleans is a 5.5-point dog against Geno Smith and Seattle. We saw Geno go toe-to-toe with Ben Roethlisberger in the fourth quarter. Couldn't pull the ball game out. But I think this is a bad matchup right now. I think New Orleans is going to force Geno over the top. I don't know if he can do it. I saw short to intermediate throws. I don't know if Alex Collins is going to be able to run on that front seven. DJ Dallas, Travis Homer, they're going to be completely one-dimensional. I would still take my chances right here with New Orleans. Don't love the game, but early on, Saints, I think, have good value on the road in Seattle.
Yeah, and it's one of the quirks of the scheduling, but it's goofy. You know, the Saints are coming off a bye, and they get to play on Monday night. I mean, they've been on vacation for a month now. I mean, they got more vacation time than Scotty Carell, for goodness sake.
You're crazy. You're crazy.
Who put that in the script, Joe? Who's writing these scripts? Come on now. And, you know, the Saints, they laid an egg against the Giants at home. They seem to play better on the road, right? They went to Washington and came up with a win. And now you get 2 weeks off, and you play a wounded Seahawks team. I tell you one thing about Seattle, though, they will never quit. They'll never give up. You know, the Pete Carroll teams always have that fight, always have that whatever. They came back from just deader than dead first half on Sunday night against Pittsburgh, and darn near won the football game. So I don't know if I'm keen on laying the 5. I wish that went down to like 4 or 3. But
right.
I think Seattle's going to win. No, I don't. I don't. You know. And the more and more tape and stuff you get on Geno, not that he's a young quarterback, you know, you just more and more acclimated to what he can and cannot do at this point in his career. So yeah, that's going to be a tough spot. I think you're going to get the Seattle team that you saw in the first half versus the Seattle team you saw in the second half.
Let me ask you this: are you shocked that the spread is 5.5 and not higher? Closer to 7. I mean, the fact that they are coming off a bye week, the fact that Geno Smith did not really look good in terms of the passing game against Pittsburgh. You can make the argument that the Saints have a much better defense, at least statistically, than Pittsburgh at this point. Opportunistic, younger type of team. Are you shocked that it's not in the area 6, 6.5 and only hanging around 5, 5.5 right now early on?
No, I mean, that's a lot of points to give on the road. You know, you really, really have to be good to be much more than a 6-point, 5-point road favorite. So not really. And I actually think that, you know, I don't know if they necessarily break down the minutiae of it all. I think what the boys in Vegas have said, Joe, as well, they took Pittsburgh to overtime, you know, on the road. They didn't play that bad, you know, a little early slow start, but they were right there in the end, had a chance to win, so... Why should we give them, you know, 6, 7 points, you know, when they, you know, went toe-to-toe with the Steelers team on the road? So
I think they get
credit for that.
Yeah, I know.
I don't buy it, but I think that's what they're going to say.
Well, here's what I see. I mean, Pittsburgh's offense is completely handcuffed with Big Ben. They can't throw vertically. Everything is short to intermediate. You had a 14-0 lead. You allow all of a sudden that offensive line to wear you down at the point of attack. And on the flip side, you have DK Metcalf. You didn't even utilize his size or speed in terms of stretching Pittsburgh's defense over the top. He was basically a decoy along with Tyler Lockett. The Saints are going to stack the box. You know that. They're going to say, okay, Geno, you think you're good? Let's see how good you really are. We're going to play bump and run on the outside. We don't care that we're on the road. And we believe in our offense to move the football on your defense. And we believe we have the better playmakers. And I think that's the matchup when you look at this game play out. I actually lean to the over here. I think it will be a higher scoring game because I feel like New Orleans will push tempo and not buy into Geno Smith to beat them in this ball game.
Yeah, one thing the Saints have in their favor, you mentioned it, they're number 2 against the run. You know, so if Seattle thinks they're going to be able to do what they did against Pittsburgh against the Saints, probably is not going to happen. You know, they're toward the lower tier when it comes to pass defense. But run defense, they're 2nd, allowing just 79 points a game. So you got to hand the ball back to Geno and say, here, go win us a football game. And God forbid the weather should be bad. I do like the Saints, but I think the number is probably going to stay where it is. I wish it would go down to 4, but I think ultimately it would be right around that 5, 6. I don't think it'll get to a touchdown.
Yeah, we'll see how that game plays out. That is the Monday night kick. The other big game in the AFC, Tennessee, fresh off their 3-point win. It's a short week for them. They take on Pat Mahomes. Another road game for Patrick Mahomes, right? Back-to-back. They just played at Washington, cover that number. Now they're laying 5.5, and the total right now, 56.5, juice to the over, -115. I got to be honest with you, on the road, I think Tennessee can run at will on them.
Yeah, can you imagine Tennessee being able to beat Buffalo and Kansas City back-to-back? You talk about making a statement. That would be a huge statement for the Titans.
Yeah, when we come back, we'll wrap up the show. Joe Lisi, Scott Wetzel talking NFL week number 7. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Network.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
Wrapping up today's show, we're going to be talking about this coming Sunday's games. We touched briefly on the Chiefs and Titans. Let's talk about Green Bay and Washington right now. Green Bay, 9.5-point favorites at home in Lambeau. Washington catching 9.5, minus 115 on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Total juice to the over at 48.5, Scott. I said it yesterday, I would be all in on Washington somehow, some way to keep this game close against Aaron Rodgers.
And they actually were. It was a misleading score, right, against Kansas City. I mean, that was a one-score game in the fourth quarter before things kind of fell apart for them defensively and everything else. But it's almost been like a lost season. You know, their season's going to come down to the next 3 weeks, and it's not going to be easy. At Green Bay, at Denver, and Tampa Bay at home. I mean, and if they lose all three of those, and now you fall to 1-7, they're done. You know, they're done for a season that was had so much promise at the beginning of the year. So I disagree. I'm going to go with Green Bay. My initial thoughts on that is I'm not going against the Packers. They're on a roll. You know, whatever happened in week one, who knows against the Saints, but they certainly turned things around, and they seem to be one of the class teams again in the NFC.
Washington in the market for a marquee quarterback in the 2022 draft class. Obviously, if the season doesn't pan out with Fitzpatrick and Heinicke on the roster there.
Oh, absolutely. You know, so there may be a third team in for the Deshaun Watson, you know, sweepstakes if you want.
Well, I don't know if he would go. You think he would go to Washington? I think obviously Philly and Miami are two places he would like to go. You think he wants to go to Washington? I mean, not a lot of weapons there. I mean, we have Logan Thomas, McLaurin, and Antonio Gibson. They're good. They're not elite, though.
Well, I think they say, well, we could trade you to Washington or Detroit. You know, which one do you want? And I think they say, okay, let's go Redskins potatoes. Because Detroit's going to be in the market for a
while. Yeah, right. How many people want to go to Detroit? Eric Hipple isn't there anymore for Scott Wetzel, our great producer, Andrew Torres. I'm Joe Lisi. We'll be back here tomorrow talking week 7. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.